Hi, this is Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
Hey, everyone. It's Neil Slotkin from the E Street Band.
This is J.Y. from the rock band Styx.
Hey, this is Brett Michaels of Poison.
This is Tim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Hey, everybody. This is your old pal, Jim Peterick.
Hi, this is Lisa Loeb. Tune in for the Midwest Beat with Tom Lounges here on 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore. This is a show that's all about music and the people who make it. Thanks for listening to Public Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. Tonight, we are going to take you to the dark side of the Yule. That's right. I've got some of the members of Classical Blast joining us. You know, hundreds of Christmas albums get released each year, but very few manage to stand out from the pack like Dark Side of the Yule. It's a new future holiday classic from the adventurous Chicago ensemble Classical Blast. They're coming to town December 10th for a performance at Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso. They'll also be at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles on December 17th. Tonight we'll talk to a few of the guys from the group and we'll play some of these unique mashups. For instance, Silent Night gets mashed with Paul Simon's Sounds of Silence, done only as Classical Blast can. They'll be up next.
Consideration for programming is provided by State Farm agent John Yelkich, serving insurance needs for Hobart and the surrounding areas. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. More information is available at john4insurance.com.
Good evening. It's time for Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and tonight, as I mentioned before the news, we're going to take you on a little trip to the dark side of the Yule. That's right. It's a new future classic holiday album by the adventurous Chicago ensemble Classical Blast. They've recorded an album that is entirely unique, and I think you're going to agree with me on that. It's wholly inventive. Unique is it melds Christmas carols that you know and love with rock music that you know and love, but in a way you've never heard nor even probably imagined. For instance, Silent Night gets mashed up with Paul Simon's Sounds of Silence, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies with Metallica's Enter Sandman, and there's lots of special guests. Joining us will be Bill and Dave from Classical Blast in just a moment, but first I'm going to dig out a song and, as I like to say, let the music do the talking so you can get a feel for what Classical Blast is all about, and we'll tell you where you can see them. This is an original tune that is a favorite of mine. It's track 3, it's Twinkle.
So much love born in a manger. Why can't we find peace on earth? Why can't we find peace on earth? I'd rescind all pain and sorrow. I'd bring goodwill to all men. If only I could wish upon the star that shows. We'll be right back.
little taste of classical music, which will appeal to all of our NPR loyalists here, along with some rock overtones and, of course, a lullaby we all grew up with. Interesting take in this original piece called Twinkle that was written by one of my guests tonight, Bill Siner. Bill, are you with us?
I'm here. Hi, Tom.
Hello. It's been a long time since we talked, many, many years, actually, but I'm glad we are connecting again in time for the holiday season, and you guys...
Well, Alton, I have Dave Kelly on the line with me, too.
Oh, hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Tom?
Oh, good. You can hear us all okay?
Yep. Absolutely.
I love it. All right. Well, let's talk a little about Twinkle. Now, I know I started with this because it happens to be one of my favorites on this album, and that's saying a lot because I really like this album. I've been living with it for the last 3 days or so since it came in the mail, and it's very fresh. Like I said in the beginning, I don't know if you guys heard or not, it's a new holiday classic, I think. I think this is so unique that it stands out from the hundreds of other albums that come out that try to be different, but somehow winding up being the same old, same old.
Thank you. Yeah, we were very proud of that, and that was kind of Bill's baby. And you have a pretty good story to go along with that song, don't you, Bill?
Oh, you know, I think it just came from me being at the children's hospital, and I was just messing around with Twinkle Twinkle, and I tried to do something different, and all of a sudden I started to do a minor version of it. And everybody that I played it for said, wow, that's really a cool vibe. So then when it came time to think about this Christmas CD, we just started putting lyrics to it, and I embellished it even further. And then I went back, and I was looking for someone to do a video of it. So we went back to Lurie Children's Hospital and came across this girl that... just was really friendly in the elevator up, and I said, hey, I'm going to do a video of Twinkle. Would you like to sing along? And she said, of course. And it's kind of the way this girl is. Hmm. And anyway, we became good friends, and she's been hanging now, and all of a sudden she started singing and playing guitar, and now when we do this this song live, she's going to be with us singing the chorus and playing guitar on it.
Now, is that Olivia or is that Stephanie?
That's Olivia. Well, okay. Olivia sings Twinkle live with us. She's only 17, and she has a lot of passion. She's an up-and-comer, for sure.
Now, Stephanie's singing the verse, and Olivia's going to be singing the chorus.
Oh, okay. Now, was Olivia musical before you met in the elevator? You mentioned she's
barely,
now taking guitar, but
yeah,
was she
barely.
Already there? Okay.
I think I had some influence on her.
Sounds
but
like
I don't
it.
Want to take the credit, because who knows, but...
What's interesting, and again, you mentioned singing at the hospital. I would like to touch on that. You are part of the Caring Arts Foundation. Tell us what that is and how you have tied in with that and what you do at the hospitals.
Well, actually, my wife started the foundation, and it's grown quite a bit, so there's a number of people on the board now. And we go around to 5, 6, 7 different hospitals or places like Gilda's Club also. And we're either playing music or doing art projects or, you know, anything to take the patient's minds off of what they're dealing with. And also, Patar, the cellist in Classical Blast, and myself, we go to all those different hospitals every week. And we just play and talk. And me and him play so well. I'm playing acoustic guitar there with him this time. But... we talk to the people in between the songs, and we seem to make these great connections. And after we're out of there, there's so many people coming up to us telling us how much they enjoyed it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you wrote another song that was inspired by the hospital, too, called Beautiful. That's a really nice song.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what was it that inspired you? I mean, this is a wonderful and honorable thing you guys are doing. What triggered it? What was the tie-in, the personal tie-in that made you say, I'm going to do this every 2-3 weeks?
My wife talked me into it.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Barbara, definitely Barbara.
Our manager. She's also our manager. And when she said this a number of years ago, I said, really? Come on. Are you serious? I'm going to play guitar. You know, one thing led to another, and next thing you know, I got better at guitar, and then met Patar. No pun intended with guitar, and made my playing better. And the duo that we do now is just pretty much as unique as Classical Blast is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a fantastic manager. She makes everything better and keeps everyone in line and keeps everyone happy. And you know, likes to give, and yeah, she's fantastic.
Well, this album we're playing tonight, Dark Side of the Yule, because it's a holiday season, because you've got the Christmas show coming to Valparaiso here at the Chicago Street Theater, we're going to focus on that. But I want to let listeners know this isn't just a seasonal 8-week run for the guys. Classical Blast is a full-time band project with multiple albums. So tell us a little about the origins and what Classical Blast attempts to do with music.
What do you say, Bill?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Let's see here. Well,
the band has been together for like 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't there at the beginning, but...
Neither was I.
Yeah.
But we made the band so much better because it kind of sucked without us.
They're so lucky to have us, Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
But the direction at this point is we try to do every single possible combination of classical music and classic rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by classic rock, there's some more modern sounds in there as well. But we'll take a classical piece and make it rock, or we'll make a rock piece and make it classical. We'll put lyrics to classical pieces. We'll mash up classic rock and classical music. Any kind of combination is what we've been doing.
So there's no songs that we do that don't have our own creativity put into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And every now and then we pick a song and we realize this song is... it's too iconic exactly the way it is, and or there's no space for us to be created in it, and we have to just drop it because it's, you know, either perfect the way it is or just not enough room for us to do our thing.
Yeah, songs either go together or, we have a lot of abandoned projects, don't we?
It's interesting because mashups usually have the same tempo or the same subject matter or the same something that make it work.
Yeah.
You have a few that I would never have thought would have went together, and I'm going to play one next. I'm talking about the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy and Enter Sandman. I mean, you think of these two songs independently, I would never put them together. Yet some brilliance in one of your minds said, these would work. So let's play this for the listeners. Give them a chance to hear the, I guess, the heavier side of the group.
Yeah, sure.
Then we'll talk about how this song came about. This is Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy and Enter Sandman. A great mashup from my guest, Classical Blast.
Thank you.
what a mashup that is. Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy opens things up into Enter Sandman, giving a unique twist. Again, classical overtones, rock mixed up. That is Classical Blast, and one of the songs I'm sure they're going to be performing on Sunday, December 10th, Chicago Street Theater, 154 West Chicago Street. Paul Brown producing that show. Valparaiso, what a great venue to see him, see anybody in. It's a wonderful, intimate surrounding. I've got
that venue is great for us. We love that.
Bill and Dave from the group are with us. Bill is the bass and multiple instruments as well, as I understand. And then Dave, you are the drummer. So you guys are the rhythm section behind that monstrous groovy song.
Yes, I do some singing too. Ever since David Cav left the band, I'm going to be doing my best Enter Sandman from now on.
Okay, yeah. I was just going to say that was featuring David, and he has left the group right after these recordings. You have a new singer too, correct?
Correct.
Actually, he left before the recordings.
Oh, David did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's why we started to add all those different performers onto the CD.
Okay.
Even though we left David on a number of them, and everything's fine with us. He didn't leave the band because of any problems or anything, just because of relocation with his wife. but then we had the idea of, maybe we shouldn't put out a CD of nonstop of the singer we don't really have with the band anymore. So we came up with all these different ideas, and we really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. You've got some great guests on here. Kathy Richardson. You've got Chris Connolly, which I'm going to get to that in just a bit, from Ministry and yeah. Revolting Cox. I mean, this Ministry. I mean, they're landmark alone here in Chicago.
No doubt. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And you've even got one of the Brooks Brothers on there,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's talk about how you guys got these famous Chicago folks together. You guys old friends since you're all from the Toddlin' Town area here?
Not at all. I feel like we just had an idea and called them out of the blue.
And
no one said no. Everyone we called was excited about the project, and it just kind of fell together. It wasn't even our intention when we wrote the album or anything, and kind of turned into something special as we did it. It was great.
So David was originally on board to sing it, then everything changed when you were starting to record it, and he had to leave, and then you decided this was a new game plan.
You know what? I might be mistaken. Didn't David sing all the tracks originally?
He did. We re-recorded some
of the
songs.
We re-recorded it. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Who is the new singer?
Oh, our new singer. That's Javier Martin Lopez.
We got him from Madrid, Spain.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You imported the talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like I'm in a suitcase.
Wow. So he's going to be at the shows you're doing now, correct, as the primary singer?
Yes.
Are any of the guests coming to these performances? I know that you've got several, and we're going to plug them all for you here. But
yes, Stephanie's coming. The girl that sang Twinkle's going to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, she's also on Coventry Carol, great gig. She's all over that CD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She'll be at the show.
I think, right? Is Olivia going to be there?
I think so.
We're just musicians.
Yeah, talk to Barb.
Well, in addition to the December 10th, which is coming up this Sunday, is again 7:30 show, all ages, Chicago Street Theater, very intimate. You've also got two bigger shows coming up, Friday, December 15th, mm-hmm. Joliet Historical Museum Auditorium in Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah, we like that gig too.
Mm-hmm. I am not even familiar with that venue at all. Is it a big room?
Well, isn't that the option of inside or outside? Well, probably, of course, we're inside for the Christmas show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lovely little theater downstairs. It tends to sound really nice down there.
Actually, all me and Dave care about is they have a 55-gallon drum fill of beer.
Yeah, right.
For us. And then the people are drinking also, so it just turns into a fun time for everybody.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Ron Onesti over at the Arcata Theater has you guys headlining. You've played the Arcata, which is a beautiful room, in St. Yeah. Charles many times as an opener for different
just recently,
artists.
Too.
Yeah.
And we ended with a couple of the Christmas songs, and we told everybody that about the show, and we ended up getting a full house standing ovation.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Wow. So at that point, Ron came out and says, "You're headlining next week."
Well, we already knew it, but we were able
okay.
to, it was a perfect time to confirm it, to the audience,
And
what's kind of funny is we did so well that Ron came up and got on the mic and said to the audience, "Well, that sucked."
I hope they know his dry sense of
You're
humor.
Right, I hope so, too.
Right. Arcata.
As we're all standing, so I assumed it was a good thing, but...
Yeah.
The Arcata Show is December 17th, for those that are keeping score. So we got December 10th at Chicago Street Theater, December 15th at the Joliet Historical Museum Auditorium, and the Arcata on the 17th. And there's a note here, I think, I would assume it's from Barb, that says Wayne Baker Brooks will be guesting. Is that at the Arcata?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And he's going to be playing and singing Pray For Me.
Mm-hmm. And he shreds on guitar. He's going to play some serious guitar for everyone, too. That'll
okay.
Be fun.
And then him and Pitar are going to start mixing licks towards the end of it, and it's just what a rush we get from that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play that song now since we're talking about it. This features Wayne Baker Brooks on the recording. He'll be doing it live, and this is Pray For Me. More with Classical Blast after this.
As the cider is warmed by the hearth, while the fire burning bright takes the chill of the night, it won't melt the ice from my heart. Since you left me that way on the cold. We'll be right back.
for Me. That features Wayne Baker Brooks. It's Classical Blast. It's off the new album, which is Dark Side of the Yule. We're featuring that tonight. That's the album that's going to be featured at the shows we were discussing at Chicago Street Theater on Sunday, December 10th. Again, a local show here in Northwest Indiana, 7:30 p.m. All ages welcome. Ticket information at chicagostreet.org. I've got Bill. He's the guy that wrote that song, first of all. So let's talk, yeah. Bill, along with Dave. You wrote that song. It's an original. So let's talk about the process in the songwriting with this group. It seems like you're the primary guy when it comes to writing.
Well, only because I'm probably more efficient at it. And I've got my own little basement recording studio where I could put the song together well enough to present it and for everybody to go, yeah, that's cool, and that works.
Mm-hmm. Just got more free time.
Right. Whereas Pitar, he's an endless music writer. But he doesn't really have the way to do that, so he's probably got 20 songs that are like half done.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is where we're going to be getting to after the season. Come January, we're going to be start working on originals. Finally, we waited this whole year for that.
Now you've
then we had to deal with David right. leaving, and then start working Javier into the, and then the Christmas shows and rehearsals, and so we're just chomping at the bit to start working on originals.
Now, you have two other albums out besides the Christmas album, correct?
Yeah.
And so the next one is hopefully coming out in 2018, or are you just going to be writing and recording that next year?
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly when it'll come out. It just depends on how well that, you know, the writing and recording part goes.
Yeah.
But I think we'd probably get super inspired if we have a number of songs that we think are, wow, that's really killing it.
Yeah, we don't really write in the studio. We like to have it pretty complete before we get there.
Okay. Now, I see.
Only on that last song you were hearing on the end there, even though I said live that Wayne's going to be shredding the guitar.
Yeah, there was. I didn't hear a lot of guitar in there at all.
But that was all Pitar,
okay.
All cello. Okay. All those licks and things, that's what we do. That's him running his cello through distortion and all kinds of pedals that a regular guitar player would use.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a cello sound like Jimi Hendrix if he wants to.
Right.
He's got some serious control over that thing.
Wow.
And he's using an electric cello live, so he could be like on his knees playing, ripping off a solo.
Yeah. It's almost a joke in the band that no one knows what the heck that instrument is. It's this five-string stick.
Right.
So, yeah, it's an electric cello, folks.
Now, you guys, according to the record label that I'm looking at here, Toucan Cove Records, yeah. Entertainment out of Seattle, Washington. Is that your own company? Is it an indie label? What's the tie-in?
No, it's not our company. It's just the label that heard about us and wanted to promote us and sell CDs for us. And so we looked into them and made a pretty good connection with the president, and we said, okay.
Are all of your titles on that label?
Yes.
Okay, so it looks like it's a good fit.
Not the first
one. Not the first one, that's correct.
The last one.
Right.
When it comes to the Christmas shows, you've got a very short window of time, obviously. Anyone who's doing Christmas music has like 8 weeks to get it out there, sell it, and then tour behind it. How many dates are you averaging? We've got three here in December that we're promoting within the course of a week. Has this been a pretty busy year for you?
I think we're only going to do like maybe a half a dozen Christmas shows, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, for us, we just like to do it. And we get a rush from doing it, and a chance for other people to hear it and then buy the CD and hopefully enjoy it a little bit longer than just December.
Mm-hmm. That's go ahead.
Some of the shows that we promote and have ticket sales like a real nice theater show, kind of like a Box of Rock set. You know, this isn't our typical bar gig. This is what we do, our theater shows. So, yeah, we really enjoy it.
Now, listeners, you can keep up with the group and find out more at classicalblast.com. And there's a whole bunch of stuff up here. One of the things that I see you playing in the baseball field, you're Chicago fans.
Oh, no doubt.
Tell us.
That's only because we met Tom Ricketts by accident.
Okay.
And we were just playing someplace, and he was there, and he heard the band and said, wow, you guys are great. And then he said, you want to play the national anthem for me sometime? And, oh, of course. So he said, put together a special arrangement and send it to me. So we did that, and he loved it. And we did an instrumental version. I'm not sure many people do that there.
Right. Well, it looks pretty cool. I mean, you're out in the middle of the field, and you got all your instruments. And Dave, you're playing, it looks like a conga.
It's an African drum. It's called a djembe. Yeah.
And that thing was loud, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Definitely unique. Do you do a lot of acoustic bass shows like that? Can you do like a coffee house version of what you guys do?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Can. We've done some shows where we're kind of in a dark corner and I'm playing light brushes the whole time. You know, those are kind of the fun nights for me, just to kind of rearrange the music on the spot. You know, we're all pretty good musicians, so it's fun to work in different unique situations.
Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in, we are talking with Classical Blast. They've got a brand spanking new album out here for the holidays called Dark Side of the Yule. They've got some local shows. Bill Sinar is with us. He's the bass player and primary songwriter at this point. Dave Kelly on drums. And Dave, you mentioned that you were not with the original lineup. When did you come on board?
Correct. I joined a couple summers ago. What year was that? Is this my third year?
I believe it is.
It's my third year. So, yeah, I joined right before we started recording the Metamorphosis album.
Okay. What drew you to these guys?
Well, it's funny. I was actually a sound engineer at a pub in Downers Grove called the Ballydoyle, and the band used to play there, and I really enjoyed mixing them. I used to just set up the stage with all the microphones, and I kind of just developed a relationship with them through there, and they let me sit in on a song. I think it was Guns N' Roses, and years later when they were looking for a drummer, Pitar, the cellist, remembered when I sat in, and he said, hey, let's try that guy. So kind of just fell together, and it turns out it was a good musical and working relationship. Yeah, I love playing with these guys. Yeah, it's a nice creative project.
I still remember the day he came down to audition, and before we even played our first real song, you know, we just started jamming, and I'm already yelling out to everybody, he's it, he's in, done.
Yeah, I guess you would have had a guy who brought in his 20-piece monster metal drum set. So it was easy to follow.
Yeah, right.
Now, Bill, you've got a long history here in Chicago. In fact, I met you around 1979 or 80. I was doing a lot of the bookings and promotions at the Point East in Linwood, and you were with Tantrum at the time.
Wow, you are going back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And later on, you joined Scotty Brother recording artist Survivor as the bass player. So you've got quite a history of Chicago rock and being a recording act here that's done very well. This is completely different than what you did in either of those groups. What drew you to this kind of sound and this kind of project?
Actually, you know, how this happened was I started doing the Caring Arts Foundation duo thing with Pitar before I joined the band. And then we became such good friends after doing that. And he started to come out and see me play bass with the other band that I work with. And and then eventually he said, hey, how come you don't play with us? Because he was just holding down the fort with just the cello. There was no bass player at that time. And I said, well, he says, you already know probably half the songs. And I said, well, I'll consider that. And
yeah, but they were rehearsing in your basement, right?
I don't remember. Were you guys, you were rehearsing in my basement before I was working with you?
I wasn't there.
Wow. Oh, that's true. But anyway, it wasn't a plan. It wasn't.
Okay.
You know, it just, and that sort of happens, you know, probably with Tantrum that happened. Same thing with Survivor. It's kind of like one thing just drifts into another. You know somebody, and, you know, you're talking at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was probably talking to Frank Sullivan or Jim Peterick right at the time where, you know, they needed another bass player, and things just work out.
Now, jumping back to Tantrum, last time I saw you, actually, I think it was the Haymakers reunion.
Oh, yeah.
You guys got back together, and backstage there was a lot of chatter that Tantrum might be getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Pam, I think, was telling me that. It was
right.
One of the girls.
Yeah, and Pam did and Sandy were thinking about that.
Did anything ever happen? Did you even start anything?
I didn't stop it, but I pretty much maybe clarified, you know, the reality of it, that I'm working so much that I'd have to start canceling other things, Classical Blast gigs or Our Gang, the other band that I play with. I would have to start canceling these things to do a Tantrum gig, and somebody's going to be aggravated with me. And
right.
And, you know, if it's just once in a while, it's okay, but I can't picture us really getting back together and doing more than just a few gigs.
Well, here's a thought that, as a fan of both your bands at this time, would you ever think of doing a Classical Blast version of Rather Be Rockin'?
Oh, my God. My head just exploded. I don't know, but just recently the School of Rock called me up, this one here in Oak Park, and they had me come over because the kids were going to do a performance, and they were going to do Rather Be Rockin'. But that was kind of cool for me to go there and give them some tips on how to rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still play that song. I mean, and I have played that for years on the radio. It's still one of my favorites when I do a flashback to Chicago rock.
Wow.
And, as a matter of fact, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple of the guys from The Kind here, and Cliff Johnson's going to call in. We're going to kind of relive the power pop era in the early 80s era.
Yeah, we're all so connected. It's amazing.
Chicago is a unique community because even if you go back to the 60s with the Ides and the Shames and Buckinghams, everyone's friends. Everyone was friendly rivals. And the same happened in the late 70s, early 80s with Gambler and The Kind and Tantrum. Everyone was supporting each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's unique for this city. Dave, are you from Chicago originally?
I am from the suburb, yeah. So
okay.
I did live downtown for a couple of years, but yeah, I was born here.
Well, speaking of Chicago legends, you've got another one that I definitely want to get to before we're done here, and that is Ministry's Chris Connolly. He sits in on a unique mashup of Silent Night and Sound of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel. And I know you recorded this over a year ago. Had Disturbed Sound of Silence come out yet?
Yeah.
I think it had.
Okay.
And that is an incredible version of the song.
It's certainly is. And I thought maybe you and Dan Donegan and Dave were all on the same wavelength or something to channel this song into this unique style.
That would be nice.
All right. Well, we're going to play this now. This is Silent Night, Sound of Silence. This is Classical Blast. And again, it's off this amazing Christmas album as we take you to the dark side of the Yule. We'll find out more about this song after that. I love that guy's voice, and it's never sounded quite like that. That is Chris Conley of Ministry, Revolting Cox, and man, he can sing well. And sometimes he doesn't do that. Sometimes he's a little more in your face, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, we weren't sure what to expect with having him. That was kind of a first time. He just came to the studio and laid it down for us, and what an interesting sound, that Bowie-esque sound.
Yeah. It was like Bowie-esque meets Peter Steele of Type O Negative. That's what it reminded me of, like the two of those guys mashing themselves. But
one of my favorite days was after we sent him the cut, the final mix, and he emailed back something like, "Oh my God, it's fantastic." I was like on cloud nine after that.
Wow. Now, is he still, is ministry still active?
I don't know. I think occasionally.
Okay. Because I haven't heard much from them lately. I certainly hope they are. Was he a hard sell? You mentioned you didn't really know any of these folks until you sent the invitations.
No, nobody was a hard sell. Everybody was like into it and as nice and as accommodating as could be. It's amazing.
And everyone's got a price.
There you go. Now, with today's technology, a lot of albums are made long distance. Was that the case here? Did these guys actually come in and record with you?
Yeah. We all went to the studio that we tracked this at, and everybody showed up.
Wow. That's that organicness of old recordings, I think, probably has a lot to do with why this album sounds quite so good. There's something to be said when you're in the same room looking at each other and making music together.
No doubt.
One thing I'd like to find out and let the listeners know is where can they get this Dark Side of the Yule and your other albums? Is it available on the usual spots, Amazon, iTunes? And
it is. All the usual spots plus the website, plus the record company. I think if you just go to classicalblast.com, it'll direct you to the right places.
Okay. My engineer, Jose, was asking if you guys are on Spotify. That's part of that new technology I don't quite grasp yet. So,
yeah,
I'm not positive.
I don't think we are.
I think the record company was talking about that, and I just forgot. I don't know if, if they put something out.
Well, I guess that's the place to go if you want to sell to the kids today.
Yeah.
what about for us as our old timers? Are you in brick and mortar stores? I know there's still a few of those out there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think we have this in any brick and mortar. Times have changed, huh?
Yeah, they have. I still collect vinyl though, and I know a lot of ours are doing that. Are you doing vinyl on any of yours?
No, but I'd love to.
That would be fun.
I did a CD for somebody else recently. We went down to Nashville and we cut everything to a 2-inch tape like the old days, and that was kind of cool.
Wow.
If you've seen the Rock Block?
No.
It looks like about the size of a sponge that circles around your vinyl. Instead of having a record player, you just put this on top of a record, and it spins itself around it and plays it through a speaker built into it.
That's pretty amazing. I've not seen that yet. I'm sure it'll be the hot item for next Christmas if it's just coming out now.
I think somebody saw it on Shark Tank and they started producing it.
Wow.
But it's crazy compared to, a good record player.
Right. I just got my Technique 1200 repaired because I was jonesing to play my vinyl, and I thought, I got the Cadillac of turntables, so I'm going to spend a few bucks and get it all tweaked out, and I'm enjoying it.
If you want vinyl, you're going for the sound, so then to put something like the thing spinning on top of it is like defeating the purpose of why you got it in the first place.
That's true. Well, a whole generation was raised on MP3s, so they don't really know.
Right, yeah.
That said, is there anything we haven't touched on? We're running out of time. I do want to get to a final song that features Dave. But is there anything we haven't touched on you'd like to let people know? Obviously, we've got Sunday, December 10th, Chicago Street Theater on Chicago Street in Valparaiso. Paul Brown producing that show at 7:30, chicagostreet.com. Org is where you can get tickets. The 15th, again, Joliet Historical Museum Auditorium in Joliet, Illinois, joliettmuseum.com. I'm sorry, .org, joliettmuseum.org. And then with Wayne Baker Brooks sitting in at the Arcata Theater with Ron Onesti and his group on December 17th in St. Charles.
There's going to be a choir with us at the Arcata also.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Arcata Alive.
On the end of Pray For Me, where the choir kicks in, or even on Silent Night, when that choir kicks in there, too. Uh-huh. It's such a rush when we do this, and that happens.
Sometimes
the choir's not there, and we're playing the recording of the choir.
But, okay. So like at the Chicago Street, you'll have it triggered through the keyboard?
Yeah, and it sounds fantastic.
I'm looking forward to seeing that show. I missed you last year, and I am not going to make that mistake again.
Good.
So we will see you there. But I do. One of the things about this album is all the songs are so different. And I've tried to present that with what we've played tonight by doing something like Twinkle and then into the Enter Sandman, Dance of the Sugar Plum. One of them that really stands out, and Dave Kelly, you are the vocalist on this along with Kathy Richardson, and that is Fairy Tale. It's an old Pogues song. I mean, the Pogues and Christmas and classical music, you're kind of making my head explode now. This song, I've never heard it, and I understand it's pretty big in the UK. How did this wind up finding its way on your album?
Is this Barb's fault again? Barb found...
most likely.
This is considered to be... a favorite overseas, so this is one of their best Christmas songs, and I fell in love with it. I'm Irish myself, so
okay.
The Pogues are a great Irish punk band, and it's another one that just kind of fell together. Kathy Richardson kills this song. She's amazing on the CD. She was at our CD release party and nailed it there. I think for these shows, we're going to have our friend Stephanie take her role, and she does an amazing job as well, but yeah, that's a fun song.
All right, well, we're going to close out with that. Bill, Dave, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
It was a blast, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you missed any of tonight's show, don't forget it will be rebroadcast on Friday at 11 p.m. And it's going to be a podcast for your listening pleasure anytime 24/7.
Hope to see you guys at the gig.
You'll see me for sure. ClassicalBlast.com is where you'll find more information, and we'll find them live on stage locally, Chicago Street Theater, Sunday, December 10th. Let's play some music.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
'Twas Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, "You won't see another one." And then he sang a song, "Sweet Home Chicago Blues." I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So Merry Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true. Could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone.
babe. I put them with my own. I can't make it all alone. I've built my dreams around you. The boys of Chicago.